Can we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14? You know my text, verse 6 of the chapter. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can we just unite before the throne of grace in prayer? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we still ourselves in thy presence. We thank thee for the precious word that speaks to our hearts. We thank thee for its power. We thank thee that there's power in the word of God. And we thank thee it can open the hardest of hearts. We pray for an opening of the heart, an entrance of thy word, and it might bring light where there's darkness, and that thou wouldst bring life where there is death. And Lord, that thy word might have free course and be glorified, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is one of the best known texts in the Bible. It's one that you quite often see on church notice boards or wayside pulpits around the country. And there's very good reason for that, because in the text you have the truths that man needs to know. But I want you to remember the context in which it is set, because really our text is an answer to a question. It's a question that was put to the Lord by the Apostle Thomas. Now you remember Thomas. Thomas is well known in the Bible as somebody that has a pessimistic type of outlook. He's always seemingly looking on the dark side. Do you remember in John 11 that we read last week, how that when the Lord went to meet Lazarus, remember what Thomas said? He said, let us also go that we may die with him. And he had the thought that when the Lord Jesus would go to Bethany, or when he'd go anywhere near Jerusalem, that he was under a death sentence, that he was going to die, and that they would just go and die with him. He has gone down in history as Doubting Thomas. Because you remember after the resurrection, when the other disciples had been telling about the wonder of the fact that they'd met the risen Christ. Remember what Thomas said? He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And he doubted the risen Christ. He's always doubting, he's always thinking the worst, and he's always perplexed. And I want you to see what is happening here when he asks this question of the Lord. The Lord has been speaking about heaven. He's been speaking about the glories and the splendors that are there. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And he spoke of this marvelous place and the preparation that he was making. And he indicated that he was going towards death. He spoke of his impending death. And he spoke about the agonies of the cross in the previous chapter. You read about that. And the Lord made the way of heaven clear. He told the disciples that he must die and they must rise from the dead. But he says in verse 4, whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. So he had made the way plain. He had made his purpose plain to them. And it was absolutely clear what the Lord Jesus was going to do. But like other people, the disciples just didn't have a grasp of all that was going on. And they were a little bit confused. And it is at this point that Thomas stands forth among the disciples to ask his question. And look at verse 5, and you see the question that he asked. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And you notice the we there. He uses the word we. It's not just Thomas that's confused. It is the other disciples that are confused. They think still that the Lord Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom. And he does not understand the way. He doesn't know the way that the Lord is going to provide for salvation. He doesn't know the way to heaven. He doesn't know the way to these mansions of glory. And it is an answer to that question about the way that the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But do you notice that in answer to the question about knowing the way, that the Lord Jesus does not just say, I am the way. But he adds in those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, why did he add in those? Why did he put in about the truth and the life? You see, this is one I am saying. Many times, when we come to think about it, people say, well, these are three titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could take it like that, and you could learn a lot. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But it's more than that, because this is an answer to one question that Thomas put about the way to heaven. And this is the Lord's way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, some people have rendered that, I am the true and living way. And there's a lot of truth in that. And we could learn a lot of truth in that. But that's not what the Greek here says. That's not what the original says. It might be a rendering of what it means, I am the true and living way, but it's not what the Greek says. Dr. Cairns has come up and he has said that the rendering should be, I am the way because I am the truth and the life. And that is so. This is one saying. I am the way because I am the truth and the life. But men and women, isn't it the most important thing that we could know the way to heaven? Isn't it the most wondrous thing that we could understand the way to life and the way to happiness and the way to peace? And I want you to see tonight that this is not my church's answer. It's not my answer to this. It's not a denominational answer to this, or some system of theology's answer to this. But this is the Lord Jesus' answer to the way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you want to know the way, go by what the Savior says. If you want to know the way to heaven and the way to peace and the way to blessing, we need to listen to what the Lord Jesus has laid down. So that's the importance of the text. And that's why we need to listen. And it speaks here of one who is the go-between, the one who is the way to heaven. And the theologians call that a mediator. He mediates, he goes between man and God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator of God's elect. He's the way to heaven. And I want us to see some things about our mediator, or our way to heaven, that are indicated in this text of Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice is the necessity of the mediator. You notice what it says in the text. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want you to see what that means. I want you to see, first of all, that that means that every man and every woman is far off from God. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If no man can come to the Father but by me, coming means that you're afar off. If you have to come to something, it means you're not there. You're not in the place. If you have to come to something, you have to make a journey. And that is the teaching of the Bible, that man by nature is not in the place where he needs to be to get to God and to meet with God. He cannot be in the presence of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. But in the ungodly state, men and women are far off from God. And when man fell in the Garden of Eden, you remember how God set a cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life, so that man could not come near God. He was barred from the presence of God. The holiness of God kept him out. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And we go a way of our own. The Bible says in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And that's the Bible's picture of every man. It says no man can come. No man can come except by me. That means that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl starts out at a distance from God. Now I want you to see that simple truth, and I want to underline the simple truth. Because that means, men, women, boys and girls in this meeting, that if you stay where you are, you're lost. You have to make a journey. There has to be a coming to God before you can be saved. If you stay where you are, you're far off. If you stay where you are, you cannot come near God. You can't stay where you are, because where you are, you're outside of Christ. You're away from the blessing, and you're not on the road to heaven. And what you need to do tonight is make a journey. You've got to make a journey. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to come to God for salvation. And what I've been saying might cut across your image of yourself. You might think that you're good and upright and everything else. But nevertheless, we've got to give you the painting that God puts in His Word. You have got to come. You're afar off. You've got to come. No man, He says, can come to the Father but by me. So we notice, for one thing, that man is far off from God. And you've got to come because you are far off. There's another reason for the necessity of a mediator, and that is because He, the mediator, the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only bridge that can bridge the gap. He's the only one. And we need this mediator. We need the Lord Jesus Christ because He says, no man can come to the Father but by me. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And you notice the definite article there. There are not several ways. There are not even two ways. There's just one way. Many people have the notion that there are many ways to God. But that's not the message of the Bible. The Bible says that there is one way. So you need this mediator, not only because you're at a distance from God, but He is the only way by which you can come near to Him. He's the only one who can bridge the gap. You think of a ship at sea. And she has been overtaken perhaps in a dreadful storm. And she's taking on water, and the masts are broken, and the sails are torn, and the pumps are choked. And it is about to sink, and the crew have worked the pumps day and night, and now they are at an end of themselves, and the hold is filling up with water, and in a very short time that ship is going to sink to the bottom of the sea. What do? They have only one thing they can do. Go for the lifeboats. They have no other way of escape, and they have to let down the lifeboats, and when they get into the lifeboats, only then are they safe. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And until you get into the lifeboat, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not safe. So that's why you need a mediator. That's why you need the way, because you're far off. And He's the only way to get to the place where you need to be. But not only do we notice the necessity of the mediator here, but I want you to notice the names of the mediator. You notice that He says here, I am the way, and then He says, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now we've said that these names are interrelated, but I want you to think about the names one by one. I want you to realize that He is the way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. Thomas wanted to know the way, and so the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. And that's simple. The way is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the mediator between God and man. But I want you to think about Him as the way. I want you to realize that it is a simple way. There's nothing complicated about it. There's nothing complicated about finding this way. Because He comes into a meeting like this, and He's available to anyone who will call upon Him. And all you need to do is call upon Him in your sin, and He will save you. You know, we can maybe think of times when we've been out in a place maybe that we didn't know and we asked directions. Maybe it was a little obscure road that we had to go up, and there were roads along the way that looked like the same road, and it wasn't easy to find. And perhaps we have mistaken the directions. But the Lord doesn't want you to mistake the directions as far as your soul is concerned. He wrote to, he spoke to the prophet Habakkuk, and Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2:2, make it plain that he may run that readeth it. And I want to make it plain tonight. I'm not going to complicate it in any way. All you need to do is put your faith and rest your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's done it all. He's done it all. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He made the sacrifice for sin. And all that we need to do tonight is come and trust in Him. This is a simple way. A little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 can enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. Not only is He a simple way, and His way is a simple way, but it's a sufficient way. You thank God that all who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Thank God the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Oh, men, women, no matter who you are, if you want to come, this way is not so clogged that you'll not get on it. It's not in any way blocked that you'll not be able to enter into it. There's not a lock on the door so that you can't come in. The Lord bids you come, and if you'll come tonight, you can get on the way. I read the story of a sailor who was very much a wicked person on board the ship that he was. He was very much into an evil, immoral, and wicked life. But one day he was sailing across the sea, and God began to speak to him. And his conscience began to deal with him. And he began to realize that he was very far short of what he ought to be. And the trouble was that there was nobody on board that could tell him the way. There's nobody who was in any way knowledgeable of the scriptures who could direct him in the way that he wanted to go. But he took out a Bible and began to read the Bible. And one day he came across that well-known text in John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he put his finger on that little word, whosoever. And he said, that means anybody. That means everybody. That means me. And thank God it can mean you. Whosoever. This is a sufficient way. It's broad enough. It's a narrow way, but it's broad enough for all who will enter. Not only is it that, but it's a sure way. The Bible says in Isaiah, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The Lord keeps us on the way. And it's a saving way. Thank God the end of this way is life. You know, the Lord can be like the father in the story of the prodigal son. And when the son came home from the far country, we read that he said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Oh, you can be found tonight. You can find the way. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to blessing and the way to peace. But not only is he the way, but he is the truth. You see, men and women, not only do you need a way, you need the truth. Because there are all sorts of people in this day and generation who will try to hoodwink you and bombard you with all sorts of false notions. And it's the devil's purpose to give you a false way, to direct you in a way that will lead you astray. And you can listen to all sorts of experts today. You can listen to all sorts of theologians today. But what I want you to do is listen to the Lord. I want you to listen to the Lord today, because He's the truth. There are many lies. You say, how do I know that what you're telling me is not lies yourself? Well, I don't want you to listen to me. Listen to what the Lord says in His Word. Read the Bible. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He dispels the lie. You think of the devil. The devil, the Bible says, was a liar from the beginning. He's a master of lies. And many people have succumbed to his deceptions. Way back in the very dawn of time. Remember how he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden? And he told Eve lies. He told her that when she ate of the forbidden fruit, he said, ye shall not surely die. And she ate of the forbidden fruit. To her cost, she discovered that it was a lie, for she did die. And death passed upon all men, and all have died. And there's a wisdom of this world. The Bible says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And you need not to listen to the lies of this world, the propaganda that is put out in this day and generation, because the devil would seek to divert you and uses every media that he can and uses every way that he can to bring you to a false way. But Christ is the truth. He dispels the lie. And not only does he dispel the lie, but he directs you right. You can be sure that the Lord's way is the right way. You can be sure that this is the true way that leads to heaven, because it's the Lord's way. The story is told of a lady many years ago. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of this lady in a train, and there was a blizzard. And because of the blizzard, the windows of the train were all covered up with snow and nobody could see out where they were. And there was a man sitting opposite the lady, and he saw how anxious she was, this lady with a little child with her. And he could see that she was anxious, that she was concerned that she might miss her stop and get out the wrong place. He said to her, "Listen, dear, I see you're worried, but don't worry, because I know this line. I know where you need to get out. And I'll just tell you where you need to get out when it comes to the time." So it came to the stop before where she was to get out. The train stopped. He says, "This is the stop before you need to get out. You're going to get out at the next stop." The train went along, and it came to a halt and stopped for a while. He says, "This is your stop. You get out here." And so she did. She got out of the train. It was to be a country halt. There wasn't very much about. So she got out of the train, made her way, and then the train went on, and after a while it stopped again, and the guardsman shouted out the name of the station that the lady was to get out at. And the man said to the guard, he said, "But we stopped before." He said, "Was that not this particular stop that this lady was to get out of?" He says, "No," he said, "what happened was there was a fault in the train, and we stopped. We had to stop for a little to get the fault dealt with. It was a stop in between." And the man realized that he had directed that lady and her child out into the blizzard. And the child and the lady were not found until the next day. They were found frozen to death in the midst of the plains. She was misdirected. Misdirected. Men and women, do not be misdirected. The Lord Jesus is the truth. He will direct you the true way, the only way that will bring you to heaven and a blessing and a home. But not only is he the way, and not only is he the truth, but he's the life. And if, men, women, you're going to go the right way, not only do you need to know the way, and you need to know the true way, but you need to have life that you may get on it. You need to have life. And the Bible pictures us as dead in trespasses and in sin. And the thing that you need tonight is life. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the life." Now you know the difference between death and life, don't you? You know you can tell the difference between a dead tree and a living tree. Or a dead flower and a living flower. Now you can tell by looking at it, but I'm sure that if I was to go to you tonight and ask you to describe the difference between death and life, you might have problems. You know, somebody might be sleeping and lying there, and they could look for all the world as if they were the same as being dead. And you know that you could mistake death and life. But you know, the only way to have true life is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not only true of spiritual life, but it's true of physical life as well, because He gives us life. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the very breath that you have is given to you of God. So physical life is given to you of God. But more particularly, spiritual and eternal life is given to you of God. Many years ago, there was a man, a rich man, who lived in a village in England. And this village in England, in the dry season, the summer, lacked water supply. And it all dried up, and the people suffered from lack of water. But about a mile from the village, there was a spring that never failed. And this rich man decided that he would pipe the water from the spring into the village. And the people of the village were so grateful that after he died, they erected a monument to this man. But say that not only was this water able to quench their thirst, but was able to heal them when they were sick, and was able to raise them up when they had died. My, how much better would that supply be? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ offers you that very thing and more. He offers you life. He offers you eternal life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can have life, and life more abundantly, found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, men and women, will you not come to this one? Come His way and believe in His truth. So we notice tonight here that we have the necessity of a mediator. And we have the names of the mediator. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But just in closing, could I warn you about the neglect of the mediator? He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want you to see the peril of neglect. He says, no man, no person, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you are upright or whether you're a scoundrel, whether you're high up or whether you're low down, whether you're respectable or whether you're religious or whether you're irreligious or whatever you may be, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. There are a lot of people who are sincere and perfectly sincere in what they believe in. They might spend hours, and they might spend a lot of money, and they might spend a lot of sweat, and they might spend a lot of tears seeking the way of salvation. But the Bible is absolutely clear. No man, that includes you, no man, no woman, cometh unto the Father but by me. And what's the consequence of that? Well, it's very simple. The Lord lays it down absolutely clear here. And you might debate it, and you might dispute it, and you might argue about it from now to doomsday, but it makes no difference. Unless you have Christ, you perish. Unless you have His salvation, you're on your road to a Christless eternity. And there you see the peril of neglect. If you're not on the way, you're lost. If you haven't the truth, you're believing in a lie. If you haven't life, you're dead. And there's no way out of it. Without Christ, you perish. So there's the peril. But not only do we see the peril of this neglect, but look at the personal nature of the neglect. He says, no man. Not no body of people. Not no church. Not no men. But no man. It's up to you, man. It's up to you, man. Up to you, woman. Up to you, young person. No man. You must come. You must come to the Father tonight. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But what are you going to do? Where do you stand? Are your sins forgiven? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because there's no other way. The gospel is exclusive. The Lord Jesus makes it absolutely plain. No man, no person, no matter whether you're the Dalai Lama or the Pope, no matter whether you're a parson or a prelate, or whether you're an ordinary person in the pulpit, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to come his way, and he is the way. So I bid you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I bid you bow the knee before him. I bid you ask him into your heart as your Savior. Will you do that? Will you do that? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Seek him tonight as your own and personal Savior. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. And if God has been speaking to you tonight, don't go away without the Savior. But you trust him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that there is a way, even though it's an exclusive way. We realize it's the only way. But our God, we thank thee that there is a way by which men and women can come to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst write thy word upon the hearts of those that have heard it. And shut us in with thyself tonight. And save by thy grace and by thy mercy. Lord, continue to bless and to speak and to save. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.